Matt can't come to the phone right now. He's been in his astral plane for quite some time after seeing Doctor Strange. We're not sure if he'll ever come back, but we hope so.
At least he's opened his eye. Episode 107.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now... Here's
trying to just have my eyes like wide open and catatonic the whole time. I don't know if it played.
I didn't realize that you were going for the non-blinking thing.
Yeah, but I blinked once and I was like, no, I've ruined the whole joke now. Everyone's going to see me blink. All right.
Is Matt alive in there?
Matt's somewhere rattling around in here. All right, guys, we are the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 107 coming to you live from the Sanctum Sanctorum, which has been sucked into the dark dimension by way of Kamar-Taj. I just threw them all in there because, it's finally the day. It's finally the day I've looked forward to since I was 10, talking to all the fans about Doctor Strange.
So we're not at Kamar-Taj. We're not in dark dimension. We're in what?
We're in the Sanctum Sanctorum, but it's been sucked into the dark dimension, but the dark dimension sucked the Sanctum Sanctorum in by way of Kamar-Taj.
There we go.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, of course, of course. You know, Hell's Kitchen's probably somewhere in there. I don't know.
Christmas.
new one. I like it.
It's a new one. Yeah, well done, Doom. So on Marvel Movie News, in case you've never seen us or watched us or whatever else, if you're new to the show, we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You can also find us through their website, popcorntalknetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at The Popcorn Talk. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/Marvel News Show. And guys, if you'll tweet a link out to our show with a message telling people about the live chat, Doom in the booth, we'll retweet you.
Doom is ready to talk about Doctor Strange.
Is Doom? That is Doom. That
there's some really exciting other stuff, but not that
Doctor. What were you gonna say, Corbin?
I was gonna say that was your best power through. That was like I felt the power of, you know, the hoary host of Hoggoth powering you through.
Oh man, yeah, by the Vishanti, I got through that. I'm Matt Key at the Matt Key. We're also joined by Coy Jandreau at CoyJandreau, and we are joined by Markia McCarty. I just can't. I'm trying so hard. Do it
at MarkeiaMccarty.
K-E-I-A. Yeah. I like that. K-E-I-A. We also have the voice of Doom in the booth, as you've already heard. And we've got Colt Badeau tweeting from the Starjammer. Colt, I actually have a message I need to give you. So Colt, like 3 months ago, sent me a gift, but he didn't have my address, so he sent it to Hector Navarro. Mm-hmm. And Hector gave it to Adam because Adam is always at Screen Junkies.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that was in a time when I had just stopped going in there all the time because the Kevin Smith thing like changed a different studio and everything else.
Okay.
So I went in yesterday to record my Screen Junkies show. Like they did a Doctor Strange News where we talked about all the Easter eggs in it.
Awesome.
And it was great. It was a super fun time. You can go watch it there on Screen Junkies News. But I was like, oh man, I finally get to get this gift from Colt Badeau that he sent me like 2-3 months ago. I'm going to go get it. And I was like, Adam, I'm coming in. I'm going to get that gift from you. And he's like, awesome. Adam totally forgot to bring it in.
Oh.
So, Colt.
It's coming.
Colt, here's the deal. Hector and Adam will be at my wedding this Saturday. So they will more than likely bring your gift to me, and it will become an accidental wedding present from you. So
there we go.
So that there works. You go. There you go, Colt. Thank you for everything.
Also, I have a wedding gift for you that is large and currently in another state that I'm very excited for you. You heard it here first, folks. It's quite the wedding gift, and you'll see next week.
Well, I won't see next week. I'll be in Japan.
You'll see when you come back.
It's real physically gift.
Am I going to get it before the wedding?
I don't think I can bring it because of its size. I'm just teasing it as much as possible. I'm even going to tell Markia so you have someone else that knows it, and then you can just like squirm and wait because it's awesome.
Okay. I can't wait.
So, is this thing you'll have wedding gifts from us for when you come back?
Oh boy, I can't wait! Yeah. Everyone should get married all the time, so you get wonderful gifts.
That's why divorce rates are so high. It's the gifts. It's the gifts.
By the way, we need to get going, but I want to throw out two quick things. I did a podcast with Joseph Scrimshaw. He's been on our show a couple times. He used to do the Jedi show here. Mm-hmm. He has a podcast called Obsessed. You can find it on iTunes. Just typed in Obsessed. I did it on Doctor Strange. I talk about Doctor Strange for about 1 hour, 15 minutes. My love of Doctor Strange, why I love it, what I think about him, everything else. So go do that. Also, this week is crazy for me because it's Doctor Strange followed by an intense day of voting, followed by my wedding, followed by Japan. So November is This is a crazy month for me, so everyone pretty please awesome forgive month. Me if I'm going a little crazy. But let's get into it, because we have a little bit of news to get through, and all I want to do is talk about Doctor Strange, so please forgive me if I don't care about any of the other news. Spider-Man Homecoming. We have a possible leaked look at the costume for the Vulture. That hit Reddit today. And it was released by our good friends at the MCU Exchange. They have a wonderful website. We get a lot of our news from there. So it looks like this is a picture taken on a computer, and it looks like it was maybe a model made for, like, the costumers, like a practical model of costume should fit together.
Sweet shoes.
Talons, yeah. So
it, I love the jacket, how it looks like a winter... They made the green silliness into, like, this winter fur.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. and here's the deal. Like, here's why I believe that this is probably real. Doom, can you go to the concept art that they previously released earlier this year, like towards the end of the summer? We can't really see it here because of the lights, but if you take a really solid look at the Vulture in this concept art, you can see he looks like he might be wearing a bit of a bomber jacket and some green pants and the talons, talon feet. So it looks, and the wings are definitely like the tail.
Yeah.
You know, because they have that sort of like drone of fan in it. So it's looking as if this model is pretty dead on, a pretty solid leak.
It looks really cool. I really like this suit idea. I like the practicality. I like how it, you know, it's a expansion of disbelief. Like, it's just beyond disbelief.
Yeah.
I'm at Menu.
Yeah, and what I like about it also is that it's like, yeah, it's probably he's flying through New York at high altitude. It's gonna be cold. He's gonna need a jacket. Yeah. He's gonna need the helmet to keep himself safe, and he's gonna need those talons, like, not only for like grappling people and stuff like that, but also like landing on uneven spaces, like landing on like flagpoles and building ledges and whatever else. So like,
I can't wait for this movie. Yeah. Like the Shocker, obviously I had a whole episode about it freaking out, but like this suit too, like everything's just my childhood come to life. And
I just had that with Doctor Strange. Like,
yeah.
Like,
oh dude,
that was my head. All right.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that with Black Panther.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We all get our, yeah, like, we all, the next year.
Yeah. All right. What were you going to say, Dumbo?
Spider-Man news came out. Giacchino confirmed that he's going to be composing Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes. And I loved his Doctor Strange score. Oh, man.
He's killing it with Marvel right now. And what's funny is that, like, at the Marvel panel at Comic-Con, they talked about Giacchino like the whole time. Like, Kevin Feige was like, and by the way, we've got Michael Giacchino who just did a score that you heard, like, just now. Like, and he's like, Michael, do you want to stand up? It felt like they were saying, hey, this guy's our guy.
Yeah.
This is our guy. Like,
I mean, he did a great job. That was one of the most, arguably the most iconic score we've had for a superhero Marvel
game. Yeah,
I mean, you felt it. It brought it home for you.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm in a live chat on my phone. I'm not just, like, being weird.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi is all weird, so I'm also on it all.
Yeah, so no one assume that we're not listening to each other or not paying attention. We're actually, we've said before, we're multitasking.
And speaking of which, real quick, for the, like, social media section, do you want to, like, truncate and put that above the Doctor Strange so we can just power through it? So then you just talk Doctor Strange?
Sure, okay. We'll do that. Logan, real quick, we have a new image. The Weapon X Instagram is just kicking, alive and kicking, and it's wonderful and we love it. We have a new image where it appears Wolverine has slayed some fools. Man, did I forget some to send fools. That in? I may have forgot to send that in, Doom. I see you, like, rushing through there. We'll show in a second.
Where he's outside of a cabin?
Yes, he's outside of, like, what looks like
that image is the so cabin, great.
And he's got his paws clopped. He's got his claws popped.
Yeah,
his paws are fully there. Appears claws
claws popped, paws clopped, and it looks like there's a body at his feet, and it's just a great. It's a great image. It's a fun image.
It looks like a comic cover. It looks like the early 2000s Wolverine run.
Yeah.
And the noir aspect of it is gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks like mid-stealthy rescue operation.
Yeah, yeah. So it's that, or it's they're hiding out, and that's defense. Now, and here's what here's how I'm putting this together. You know the scene where it looks like Wolverine and Laura Kinney are trying to crawl towards Professor X and the weird stuff is going on around it. It seems like it's a psychic blast.
Yeah.
So it seems like Professor X is like, here's my interpretation of what's going on. They're hiding out. They're being attacked by the Reavers. Is it the Reavers? I always get, like, there's like seven of these weird teams. I know it's Donald Pierce.
And thanks to all the fandoms, I think Reapers, Ravagers.
There's Reapers, there's Ravagers, there's Reapers, there's Marauders. I'm getting them all mixed up right now. But they're being attacked by the cyborg army led by Donald Pierce. And he rushes out to attack them. And then Professor X is the last minute, like, nuclear bomb. Oof. And I think that's this scene. Oh, I think, man. Like, they're hiding out. They're being attacked. Logan goes out to kill as many of these fools as he can. And they still get through. And Professor X is like, don't worry, Logan, I've got this. And he's like, no! And he's like, psychic blast!
Yeah, but then maybe it takes him out also.
But it takes him out. And then the scene after with him with the shovel, that's him burying him in the woods outside of this place.
So. I think that's a really good theory.
That's what I'm putting together in my noggin.
I just want it to be here now, because I had that and Guardians in front of my Doctor Strange, and I saw Doctor Strange twice, and both times the Logan trailer made me almost cry.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's such a powerful trailer in theaters, and it's so much of just like... I want it
dude.
So bad. Yeah, it's March, it. Like, it's not that far. It's like, so far. I'm so glad they waited to do this push until, like, right before, because I feel like I can almost patiently wait, but I need it.
I really enjoyed the Wonder Woman trailer. I can talk about that.
The Wonder Woman trailer looks great.
It's
incredible. It looks so good.
It looks so good.
I will say, I know we can't talk about it. We should, because I want to talk about Doctor Strange. So
it's
the
just
only
a
thing,
sentence.
The only thing that I disliked about it was the weird song change at the end of the trailer. I felt like it was like, here's music, she's doing her thing. Pause.
I like her theme music.
I just felt like it was a strange, like 1 second pause. It was like,
why not transition?
I don't want silence in my Wonder Woman trailer.
The action looks something we've never seen before.
Crazy.
The sliding style of her fighting is so cool. It's like a video game style.
I like the choreography of her fighting.
We got skibbity boop. Doctor Strange Day.
Doctor Strange Day.
Yeah.
So we've got some unfortunate news for Deadpool. Junkie XL has left doing the score, and he had a very heartfelt message that he wrote. Oh, I know, buddy. I know. Oh, boy. Here we go. Here we go.
I'll let Matt read while I mourn.
So he wrote on his Twitter, "Dear friends, it is with a heavy heart that I have decided not to score the upcoming Deadpool movie. I love this character, and creating his and his in the movie's original score was a monumental chapter in my life, personally and professionally. Since it was revealed that Deadpool's brilliant creative director, Tim Miller, will not be involved in the project anymore, I have undertaken some soul searching. Tim was the driving force behind Deadpool and me getting involved in this amazing project. Deadpool without Tim at the helm just does not sit right with me, and that is why I have decided not to be involved in the second chapter. It was a difficult decision, as I love the project so much and I know how eagerly the next installment will be anticipated. It's hard to walk away from something so unique, but it also has to feel right. I hope everyone understands. Onward and upward. Love, Tom." So, it is sad, but you know what? I don't fault him. I absolutely do not fault him. As much as I wish that he was involved, and as much as I wish Tim Miller hadn't left, I also completely understand, like, hey, Tim Miller was my guy. He brought me into the project.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I liked his particular direction. I don't know if I agree with the direction it's going. That doesn't mean that the direction it's going is a bad direction either.
Right.
We should make sure that we know, like,
no, it's just
this,
like,
is not a pejorative thing.
Yeah, he has the presence of mind to be like, the way that the project is now, I might not be the best guy for this now.
Exactly.
So it's like, I'm going to take it on me to, you know, this isn't a paycheck for me. This is a calling.
But
therefore,
that many people, creatives jumping ship is just concerning, just because, like, what we've experienced with Gambit, like, at this point, where everybody's like, I'm just worried that Fox is. I want Fox to have the authority and the clout that Marvel does, so we can keep having these amazing movies. And if people keep jumping ship, it's not going to help their brand.
Yeah.
And Deadpool's brilliant. I love it. I'm curious how they make Deadpool next. And I have no problem with them having a new director on purpose, because I would love to have a different flavor all the time and, like, mix it up.
Yeah.
Like, when I read Deadpool comics, I don't want just one writer. I don't want just one artist. So I'm okay with that. But the fact that two very iconic pieces of the first film have left on seemingly bad terms worries me.
No, I completely agree. And again, I want to reiterate, like, them leaving is not necessarily a bad thing. It could be okay, but it does not seem good.
Right.
It certainly does not seem good. And here's the other thing is that the first Deadpool flew completely under the radar of the studio. Like, the studio was involved. They have to be. Like, they're spending a lot of money from the studio. But the fact that they had, what, like a $60 million budget or something like that, like, that's crazy to me. That they were able to pull that off with that little money.
Yeah.
And that, to me, also says, like, you know what? We, Fox Studios, trust you guys to do a good job, but we're not giving you that much. We're just going to kind of let you loose to to go do your thing and prove that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But now that it's a $1 billion movie, now Fox is like heavily invested. And now that's what has me the most nervous is that Fox is heavily invested in the sequel.
It's on their radar a lot because it's their big baby.
And they're going to screw it up. They're absolutely going to screw it up. And that's my fear.
It's just they need to not have a heavy hand. I know it's so difficult not to, but too many cooks in the kitchen and...
Yep.
Oh God!
I'm just wondering if they bring. I'm afraid of them bringing in a director that they have control over. I'm afraid of them not having a Tim Miller type who had that finger in, like you're talking about. They bring in like a Fox studio director that wants a certain vision that Fox wants, instead of letting like Ryan Reynolds and his writers like run free.
Yeah.
And then like Junkie XL score was so much fun. Like I just don't want it to feel like a studio film because like we were saying the first one doesn't.
Yeah, totally agree. All right, let's move on to The Defenders because we don't have a lot of time today. The Defenders has been a few things happen. Rachel Taylor, Scott Glenn, Rosario Dawson, Jessica Henwick have all been added to the cast in some capacity.
This is going to be good.
It is so crazy what they're doing. So Rachel Taylor, if you don't remember, is Trish Walker, who may or may not go on to become Hellcat at some point in either the Jessica Jones sequel, maybe Defenders.
Yeah, wasn't she in the comics Betsy Walker?
She was Patsy Walker.
Patsy
Walker, right, yeah. And she's actually a really cool character because they had a lot of romance novels, comics in the 50s. And then Roy Thomas was a writer and an editor who loved to dig back into Marvel's past because he didn't like inventing new IPs that he didn't own. So like his very specific thing was, you know what? I'm not going to invent a new IP. I'm going to dig back into the past. Like with the Vision. That's what he did with the Vision. He's like, I'm going to get like the android body of Jim Hammond. There was also another character named the Vision. I'm going to combine the two, create a new thing out of it. But Marvel already owns the IPs. I'm not giving you any of my stuff. Like, I'm just recreating your stuff. And Patsy Walker was one of those inventions, I think.
Cameo in Luke Cage.
Yeah, she did. So Scott Glenn plays Stick. That's the guy who raised Daredevil, Matt Murdock, taught him all of his stuff, but also raised Elektra. It's that dude there. He's also in it. Rosario Dawson is added to the cast. No surprise there. We're all expecting Claire Temple to be in it.
She's Nick Fury. She's Samuel L. Jackson. She's everywhere.
She absolutely is. And then we've also got, and this is not really a surprise, but still really cool. Jessica Henwick is Colleen Wing. What makes it cool is we haven't met her yet.
That's exciting.
But knowing that, like, Colleen Wing, we're going to get her in Iron Fist and then immediately followed by her in Defenders, that's pretty cool. And we know that they're already filming because we had that really great shot last week of Misty Knight with a gun on Jessica Jones, which is so cool. So cool.
And then also, you know, we're going to have Daughters of the Dragon on screen.
Oh, my God. That's gonna happen. So awesome. I would love to be able to talk more Defenders, but we really do have to move on. If you guys want to talk about it more next week, about like what you think we could expect from like Scott Glenn and Rosario Dawson, like what does it mean that Stick is in this? Like, we already know like the Defenders are more than likely fighting the Hand, so what does that actually mean? But here's the big news that broke, and I think it just broke yesterday. Elodie Young has joined the Defenders as a series regular. This is the first time that's been defined. All the other characters are in it. This is the first time it's been, she's a series regular. Series regular is a big deal. Anyone who doesn't understand what that language means, that means she's in every episode. She's guaranteed to be in every episode.
Now, we can't guarantee she will be alive or won't be, alive.
She will be featured in every episode in some capacity.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the last time we saw her, spoilers, if you haven't seen Daredevil 2, shut your ears, is that she dies at the end of that. And then the Hand kidnaps her and puts her in that weird urn thing and they take her off. So we know she's going to be resurrected in some way. And
she'll probably be a big bad, if not
she'll
the big
probably
bad.
Be a she'll, big bad.
Yeah, maybe first half. Right. Bag, and then Sigourney Weaver comes in and like, guess who was playing with the puppet strings?
Yeah, God, Sigourney Weaver, I keep forgetting.
Sigourney Weaver walks in, bing, bang.
Turns into bing, bang, bang. Yes.
Oh my God, that would be the best thing of all time. Anyway, that is kind of big news.
Yes.
And it's either Daredevil recruits the other three heroes to try and go save her, to stop her, don't know, we'll hopefully find out soon. Please feel free to talk about that in my absence. Here's a subject for you guys to talk about. You better do it.
Can you tell Matt wants to talk about Doctor Strange?
It's also we have a time limit today, so we've got to get going on. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with Doom! Go, Doom! Go!
All right. Really quick. There's a bunch of stuff I could talk about. I could talk about how the whole team disappeared, how we got... Spoilers. we finally got confirmation that Eli Morrow is evil.
Yeah, that was great.
Instead of being good. Mm-hmm. But the main thing that we need to talk about, because, I gotta just censor myself here, because I can't stop swearing. This dude, Johnny Blaze, just showed up.
Well, do we know that it's Johnny Blaze for sure?
In fairness, we don't. It could be Danny Ketch, but...
It's Johnny Blaze. We've already seen
his basement that had a stunt helmet in it. Like, it's Johnny Blaze.
And the carnival, and the jacket.
That is a great picture.
Yeah, that's real cool.
The leather jacket is so good. We got shown the Robbie Reyes' origin story, and he was, I guess, activated... So it's a new origin story that we still have to sort of figure out as we get into it. And that's what's sort of fascinating, is that we're going to get a completely new take on how this Ghost Rider is created.
Yeah, nice. He's not possessed by the demonic spirit of Eli Morrow, because his uncle is Eli Morrow. And yeah, it's great. I loved it.
Yeah, but he is dead because of his uncle.
Yeah.
Still related to that. So it's all really well built. If you want more on it, I'll just toss to AfterBuzz TV's After Show, which I hosted. And last week we had to discuss the new origin of Ghost Rider. We had Felipe Smith in studio, the creator of Robbie Reyes. And that photo that Matt is holding up is a drawing that Felipe gave me for my birthday last week.
So awesome.
So nice.
So incredible.
If you're listening, it's on my Instagram feed at that Zach Wilson. You can check it out. It's
very cool.
But yeah, that's what I have for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you want to talk Ghost Rider, just tweet me.
And by the way, that was a great reveal, and hopefully that means that we're going to have Robbie Reyes and Johnny Blaze rolling around trying to go hunt down the Darkhold and put that a stop to that. That would be, oh my God, I would love that.
It could be that Johnny Blaze actually gave up his spirit of vengeance.
He comes back as a human mentor
to Robbie.
Oh, that would also be awesome. By the way, I'd like to point out that this Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't come back until after Thanksgiving, I believe.
Yeah, November 29th.
And I'm sorry about that, Doom. I know that breaks your heart. But I watched that, and then the trailer at the end was like, we'll be back on November 29th. And I looked at Brittany, and I was like, well, that's the last Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'll ever watch as an unmarried man. I was like, that's kind of an epic Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to go out on.
Yeah.
He's taking a vacation for your bachelor vacation. More or less.
All
right. Let's talk about the Marvelites. I know. Audience, you're sweet. Aww. Let's talk to the Marvelites real fast.
Yes,
I love you all, and I want to talk to all of you. And before you get jumping on that, I have received so much Twitter love for Doctor Strange and everyone. And you all behaved yourself wonderfully and didn't give spoilers.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for that. That really does make a giant difference to us, because we do want to engage with you, but we also don't want to have the movie ruined for us if you've seen it before us. And international fans, you will almost always see it before us. So thank you for behaving yourselves, and thank you for all the Twitter love. I saw all of it. I've been in marriage mode, so I haven't had a chance to really tweet. Yeah, anyway, Markia, take it away.
This weekend. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Okay, so a quick shout out to Jay Tesla, as in JAYTEZLA. He sent a Doctor Strange reaction video mentioning
all of us.
Did he really?
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't see that yet.
Yeah, it's on Instagram that he was influenced by us to go, that he loved it, and it was just a short reaction video. It's like, thanks, man. That was great.
That's really fantastic. Yeah. Thank you for that. What was his name?
Jay Tesla.
Jay Tez. Love it.
La.
Jay Tesla.
And then quick questions. Ray McKenna at R McKenna 19. Do you think President Ellis will win re-election in an MCU?
No. No. He's presided over some pretty nasty stuff.
Yeah, but I think that might be on the way out.
I think that's on the way out. I think they'll probably bring in a female president, too. I think it's time for the MCU to have a female president.
I think they could easily rock that this time.
Yeah, yeah.
Michael Blade at Michael B. Ryder. What are your feelings about the MCU, MTVU, and the Netflix MU? Interesting.
Wait, there's an MTV?
Being somewhat apart.
MTVU.
What's the MTV
show? I think he means Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff like that. I mean, is he including that in
Marvel MCU? TV Universe?
Marvel TV Universe.
I was like, MTV? I was like, MTV has a Marvel show now?
Netflix Marvel confused. Universe.
So what's the question?
How do you feel about those being apart? Would you be open to them all tying all three together? Do you think Marvel would be open to it?
I think Marvel's open to it. I just don't think Marvel knows how to stitch them together in a way that is cohesive, and in a way that, Kevin Feige's big thing was that, you can't really throw Daredevil
and Luke Cage
on the screen without giving them also their due introduction. Like, that you also have to introduce the characters. And so his big thing was look, we gave Spider-Man an entire scene to introduce him, and we did the same thing with Black Panther. Those guys are stitched all the way through the movie. Yeah. You can't just like throw them in, you know. Like,
yeah. So, it is different audiences. I mean, people love Marvel, and we're huge Marvel fans. But yeah, there's some people that are Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. aren't necessarily Luke Cage. They might not
exactly.
ever watch it.
Exactly. And that's the problem, you know. So
I personally see like the different universes, kind of like how like in the comics there's like Spidey, and then there's Amazing Spider-Man, and then there used to be Ultimate Spider-Man. I see them all as the same character, so the universes are like it's the same universe, but by way of different universes. Does mm-hmm. that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like until Secret War caused them all to collide, they were all like different pockets. So if we get a Secret War and they can write it great and the scheduling works out great, but I personally see them separately, even if they reference each other, because I think it's just totally different.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. They all exist in the same universe. And like as an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan, I've had to defend this point on many occasions. Mm-hmm. They do exist in the same universe. Kevin Feige's talking about just the logistical problems of handcuffing a TV show and a movie together. Like the story, the TV shows are produced at a much faster pace than movies.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't, and it would force the TV writers to like stick to a point that's going to be done in a movie 3 years from now, and it would ultimately hurt the TV series, and it may just hurt the movies by throwing in a character who either has to do nothing to be there because they can't affect what's going to happen on the TV show 2 seasons from now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or it completely ruins the TV show by meaning like Daredevil has to reach this emotional point in his life in 3 seasons. So it just is simpler to keep them a little bit separate and have little references and be able to have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think there's a Doctor Strange thing like with the Darkhold. And we can talk about that during the actual.
I love talking about little things that's just
more for fans to pick up on, but not like directly bring them in.
Yeah, I mean, at most, we're ever going to see as an Easter egg, and even then, like
the incident and all the Netflix shows, like they are mm-hmm. part of a thing, but I just don't think scheduling is going
to
allow anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that's some heavy lifting to try to make everything tie together.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Okay, Adrian Shawcroft at SW.
What up, Adrian?
36. Okay, I get what you're saying with the question. He's asking, did Marvel use or consult Inception, the visual effects team, with Doctor Strange, or was it more inspired by than used?
I think it was probably more like an inspiration. They may have consulted. I mean, all the visual effects guys know each other. Yeah.
Vulture has a really good article about this, Adrian. If you wanted to check that out, they posted it on November 4th. And it goes on about how Korbold, they watched Inception, but there isn't a whole lot of stuff pulled from Inception. They mm-hmm. also were influenced by Monument Valley. If you haven't checked that out, I recommend checking that out. And it's a game you can find at iTunes Store. Also, they were inspired by low art posters and blacklight. So
you can absolutely see some of that inspiration in the film too.
Dark Dimension.
I
also felt like the Inception did a lot of things with strong straight lines, except for that one curve shot Leo has, whereas this felt very circular. I felt like this was more Inception felt more architecture based. This felt more acid based. This felt more like visual drug culture versus that felt. Well,
this is like you could touch the colors.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It was tactile.
Yeah, more tangible versus structural.
Yeah, it was here, right here at you.
So I felt it was a pretty strong difference, and it was. I worried about that in the first trailer that people would see it as the same, and I feel like that this film did a really good job of having similar but different flavor.
Yeah, I mean, they took notes from Inception. They saw what worked in the same way that people did, like, are still doing stuff like from The Matrix, like bullet time, stuff like that. Like, just because you're taking, like, sort of inspiration from or paying homage to doesn't mean that you're straight up copying it. And I think Doctor Strange proved that. Like, mm-hmm. And it's like we've said on our show when the first trailer dropped, you know, earlier this year, where it was like, yeah, it looks like Inception, but that's because they're not ready to blow your minds yet. Like, you don't know who Doctor Strange is.
And
like, the typical audience doesn't know.
The character. Yeah.
Now they know.
Now they know. And now they're like, give me more, give me more. But like,
they're like, where do I start?
Yeah. I've had a lot of people like, oh my God, I love this so much. I've never read a comic. Where do I start? By the way, you start with The Oath. Brian K. Vaughan, The Oath. Oh. Easiest read. It's great. Matt Key confirms. Start with The Oath.
Okay. Quick comments and pictures. Daniel Drew at Jedi Time Sand sent a lot. He's had a good mail week.
Nice. This dude always has a good mail week.
I chose just one of the numerous ones that he sent us. You see, he's got the story of Martha Jones in there, and I love all the stuff that you send, Daniel.
Solid work.
I'm a little bit jealous because I'm like, oh, I wish I could just spin it all on all this. Aubrey Williams at Objob.
Nice Twitter.
Yeah, I know, right? That's great. She sent a really great shirt that we should add to our great shirt collection. And it's the shirt. I've got the link in there for... No, that's not it. I've got the link in there
Good try, though, dude.
It's an Instagram thing. It's basically Mockingbirds Ask Me About My Feminist Agenda, and you can buy it.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that shirt. Yeah. That's a great shirt.
So, that's on Instagram. I believe it was Precious Moon or something like that had the thing. Ask me on Twitter and I'll be able to send you the real thing. And then also, Adrian Shawcroft again. I'm at SWWolf36. It says, stay safe, thoughts and wishes all the way from Doncaster, England. And it was a pic of us on his TV. And
then
the thing that I really liked about it, though, is like when you look beyond it on his wall, he has all these framed covers.
I know this guy. This guy's awesome. Yeah.
And it's like, hey, if any of you Marvel nerds have like a sweet setup in your house, send us a picture.
Yeah, I love that stuff, man.
Please do.
I was telling Doom earlier, I should take a picture of Brittany and me. We have a shelf at our house. You've seen it.
Yeah.
Where it's like all the Doctor Strange and then it's all the Rocket and Groot and Thanos. That's
a cosmic shelf. Area.
Yeah.
Cosmic shelf.
Should take a picture and post that. Yeah. Yeah.
Please do. Matthew Dennis at MattDennis214. That's one N. Hope this somehow happens in Avenger 3 or 4. It's just a fun pic that he sent where it's Doctor Strange and Iron Man. And nope, that's not it.
Doom is so excited for that picture. It's a good picture.
It's a
good
picture. Great picture, Doom. Where it's like, I had to. We're awesome. I can't read it. Awesome facial hair bros.
We're awesome facial hair bros. Wow, all of that was totally worth it. I mean, that's also a direct reference to like when Stark is like, awesome facial hair bros, and Strange is like, no.
No.
And then later on in the series, he does, after all, we're awesome facial hair bros, and Stark is like, you said it.
And now for the picture that Doom is so excited about, and we were so excited about.
I'm not excited. I'm just trying to guess what picture you're setting up.
Okay.
Yeah, I am excited. It's very
I've cool. got the order in the thing. Cole Canaletti, at Cole_Canaletti. This is a little drawing I made for my friends, and that's all of us.
That
from
is
Marvel
so
News.
Awesome.
It's Misty Knight, Doctor Strange, and Spider-Man.
Oh, that's that looks so fantastic. Awesome. And that's a
so
solid team up, too.
Yeah, I showed this to so many people this week. I love this picture, man.
I know. I was flashing this to everybody.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, dude. That's awesome. That's
I'm glad
a really
I didn't skip
picture.
Leg day because I have some thick thighs, and I do in real life. I actually work my legs a lot, so thank you for noticing.
Yes, thank you all.
Yeah, he can see beyond the desk.
Behind the desk? That's what I look like.
We've got to have, like, the non-workout dork. And we've got to have the workout. We've got to have, like, jock dork. So.
Hey, you know, you think I lift. It's good. Study and practice.
And now.
Grodin.
And now.
Now we have the girl
now.
Who does it all.
What?
The girl who does it all.
Oh. No, I was saying now we have Dr. Strange.
Oh, now we have Dr. Strange.
Dr. Strange.
Should we talk about that little film?
No. I think we're good. I think.
Yeah.
Just move on.
Just move on.
Yeah, I think we're about at time.
I think we're good.
Yeah, we're
I think
good.
We're at time.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. We're not going to have time to talk about it.
Maybe we should just play with the bobble dolls for like half an
hour. Do you guys just want to watch us play
what
with the bobble dolls?
What if we did the Jimmy Kimmel, Matt Damon thing? Oh, we ran out of time forever to Matt with Dr. Strange. Like, oh, sorry.
Sorry, ran out of time. Can't come on.
We'll get you next week.
All right, yeah, let's let's dive in.
Yeah.
So what'd you think?
Remember Dr. Strange?
we should say all the spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. Oh, like a thousand degrees of spoilers.
This
do
is
not
such
watch
open
this.
Open conversation.
Yeah. Do
if
not
you,
watch this.
If you haven't seen it, just stop here. Go see
unless
it.
Unless you just don't care.
Again. And see it in IMAX 3D. I don't
honestly,
say that for films.
Yeah.
Honestly, watch it in IMAX 3D.
Yeah.
Like, very sincerely, go watch it in IMAX 3D.
Okay.
But bye
if you haven't seen it yet. We love you.
I want to point out on Twitter, I just now seen this tweet, at LEANGR_R, I'm watching Marvel Movie News and putting all my work on hold to see At The Matt Key Review Reaction Full on Geek Out with Dr. Strange.
And
so thank you. Here we are to do that.
Okay.
So, as you know, because I invited you guys to it, I had about 15 different friends show up at the El Capitan to watch it with me just because they wanted to watch my reactions. And I had a friend named Aaron... with his wife Kelly, Aaron Pruner, he has his own like TV podcast that he does with our friend Jack Conway. His wife Kelly, who I've met a handful of times, we're friendly and she likes me and everything. She just doesn't know that Doctor Strange is like
she doesn't know
my
this.
Thing. So halfway through the movie, I thought this was so funny. Halfway through the movie, she turns to her husband, Aaron. She's like, "Oh my God, does Matt Key know that he looks like Doctor Strange?" And she's just like, it's uncanny.
That's
he looks so much like Doctor Strange. Does he know that? And Aaron was like, "Oh, sweetheart. Oh baby.
Oh, you're not ready to hear about Matt Key."
Yeah. So afterwards, they were like telling me about it, and I was like, "Oh, well, here's this picture of me in costume from like a couple years ago." And she's like, "Oh my God, you are Doctor Strange." And I was like, "Yeah, he's kind of my thing."
That's real cute.
I love that. So anyway, all right, let's dive in. I wanted to start with the Easter eggs because I feel like that's like kind of a fun starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys notice the Wand of Watum and Wand's hand?
Yes.
All right, so I was disappointed that we didn't get to see them use that, but I was excited that it was in it. Yeah. I was like, that's the Wand of Watum and Wong is holding it. Oh, I wanted to
and
see
it. It looked just like it.
It looked just like it. It was like so crackling well with like energy and stuff.
Yeah.
And
how like, did he lose when he has that?
That was Mike. I was like, they're doing the whole time reversal thing, and he has the pipe coming, and he like pops up when he's holding the wand. I was like, wait, how did you die with that? Like,
that's like
instant win against almost all of these guys. Like, how did you?
My big thing was the next Easter egg, a certain cameo of a character I never thought we'd see on screen.
What
the staff of the Living Tribunal?
Oh, dude!
The staff of the Living Tribunal? What?
So first of all, let me preface this to all of you Marvel fans. The staff of the Living Tribunal is not a relic from Marvel.
But the Living Tribunal is.
But the Living Tribunal, is
the dude with the face,
and he's got the face. He's got three faces, and then the back of his head is blank.
He's like straight out of Labyrinth.
He's like one of the big three. Like he's one of the biggest cosmic entities, and we saw proof of
he is bigger than infinity and eternity.
Right,
like he stands above them.
He helped the Amalgam Universe exist. That's where I was first introduced to him. Was DC Marvel blend. He's the coolest.
He watches over the entirety of the multiverse.
It's
like,
great shape, too.
They say great. It's a staff of the Living Tribunal. That's probably really his toothpick, let's be honest.
Yeah, no, that's nothing.
Let's be honest.
That little whip was like a hair that fell off his beard once.
Yeah, ages ago.
And petrified.
Yeah. I thought that was, and here's the deal, like, the fact that he's up there with the Celestials. Like,
right.
When Guardians was like, by the way, Celestials, and all of us nerds were just like, we just saw that on screen?
This is more.
This is an even deeper cut than the Celestials, in my mind. It's just like, oh, yeah, by the way, the Living Tribunal. It's like, if they bring in, like, Epoch, or, I mean, they've got Ego. Like, they're...
they're going there. I don't know.
Even the second, because I went and saw it twice this weekend.
Four times.
Oh my God.
Four?
You're
four
the best.
Times.
Yeah.
Once IMAX 3D, once 3D, twice 2D. Different groups of
That's
friends.
That's impressive. Yeah.
I would have seen it that many times, but wedding.
Wedding.
King Mary.
Wedding, yeah. But I will more than likely see it two or three more times after I get back from Japan if I don't also watch it in Japan.
I mean, that makes sense.
Though, if I try to watch it in Japan, Brittany's reaction, and I won't blame her, will be, sweetheart, we're in Japan. Can we please not
we
go
have
to a
two
theater?
2 hours of Japan instead of 2 hours in a movie theater that we can have in America.
Yeah. And I'll be like, but Dr. Strange. She'll be like, no, sweetheart. I'll be like, you're right.
I do have a question of an artifact that I don't know if it's a real thing or not. I couldn't find one. Okay, so when Caecilius is fighting Dr. Strange in the New York Sanctum, I can't talk. Okay, he picks up like a cup.
The weird like urn or something like that.
And he's
and
he's like,
I don't think that's a thing.
You don't know how to use that.
I don't think that's a thing.
Because I was hoping that was a thing.
It might be. I mean, I probably haven't read every single Doctor Strange comic or appearance, but I've read a lot of them. It's possible that it was in one of those, and I just forgot.
I was thinking it was like a cup of Dionysius. So it's just
my God, that would be awesome.
Like wine's free flowing, everybody starts dancing.
I mean, because it did sound like there was music coming out of it. I was like, what is it, like a bard tool?
I thought it was the Goblet of Fire. So,
Wrong franchise.
That makes, well, magic.
No, I get it. I get where you get confused, but it's wrong franchise.
We can't have like a musical featurette of Doctor Strange who picks up the.
Oh, we could. I would love to see that. I would love to see it. Like,
I'm just waiting for the Triwizard Tournament. The guy's got three heads. They're gonna pull a name out. They're gonna go visit. You know,
the Living Tribunal. Sure,
it just makes sense. That's just
so. Let's jump back on Living Tribunal very quickly, though. The fact that they've now brought this in, to like the cinematic universe, and he's now canon, even just with the name drop. Like, that to me is like, all right, well, Thanos is coming.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I think there was a point at what, like, there was a point where, like, the Living Tribunal, I think, actually gave Thanos permission to pursue the gems. I think. I want to say, but I know that there was a point where, well, like, he, like, he stands over the entire multiverse. Like, he was the one who, like, he was the one who said, Adam Warlock, you're not allowed to have all of the gems. You have to create an Infinity Watch. Like, he was the one, like, he lords over that. The fact that they've brought him in, the fact that he has a bit of a history with the Infinity Stones and the Infinity Gauntlet itself, leads me to believe that we might see Doctor Strange approach the Living Tribunal.
Oh, I think so.
And Infinity War.
Yeah, I think Infinity
Because we know he and Wong are both confirmed for the film.
I think it's much bigger now. I think Infinity War is bigger than we all thought because of this one little name drop.
Yeah. The staff of the Living Tribunal. Oh, my God!
I thought I misheard it, and then the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, no, that's crazy.
Yeah. That's insane. Like, yeah.
Thank God it's two movies, right, y'all?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God. And I just want to point out the Living Tribunal was first introduced in a Doctor Strange comic, like one of the original Strange Tales runs. Where the Living Tribunal was like, I'm going to just decimate the Earth because it has such great potential for evil. And Doctor Strange is like, it's also, it's a good place too. Maybe that spare
Doctor
it.
Doctor Strange can skibbity-bop cosmic energy.
Yeah, skibbity-bop-dee-skibbity-doo. Come on, man. Living Tribunal. Still with Easter eggs, Wand of Watoon, we had the vaulting boots of Valtor. Also, not relics in the Doctor Strange comics, but Valtor is one of the eight main deities, I believe, summon or ask for power. And it's typically like, by the vapors of Valtor. That's usually what they would say. But Valtor was the one of Staff of One. It was great. We had a hot second with the Staff of One. We didn't get to see anything it did.
Doctor Strange, too. I think we'll see more of those things.
I think so as well. Book of Cagliostro, we've already talked about that one a little bit. It was cool to have that one in there because Cagliostro, that was Time Doom, and I believe the later in the Marvel premiere where Doctor Strange was featured, I want to say 13 or 14, but it may have been 14 or 15, I don't remember, but Baron Mordo was after the Book of Cagliostro. Turns out it was actually written by a sorcerer from way in the future, like the 30th century, named Sisa Neg, which is Genesis spelled backwards. It's a great, great comic. If you can find it to read it, I'd highly recommend it. It's really hard to find right now. Maybe it's in an omnibus that I'm not familiar with, but definitely try to find it. If you're like wanting to dig deep into Doctor Strange, that is a pretty deep one to get into, is the Marvel premiere stuff. And then Daniel Drum, right? That was
oh, I love that.
That was amazing.
Okay,
so for those of you who saw the film, Daniel Drum was the giant African American fellow who was standing guard in the New York Sanctum.
Yeah, he was the master of the New York Sanctum Sanctorium.
And he had, like, that giant, like, magical billy club, whatever that thing was. It was just, like, beating the relentless nonsense out of the zealots. But he died in the film. And
well,
that,
did he? Did
but,
he
so
die?
Here's where I'm going with it.
Okay.
Jericho Drum is his brother.
Mm.
Jericho Drum goes on to become Brother Voodoo, who also becomes Dr. Voodoo at a certain point when he becomes the Sorcerer Supreme after Dr. Strange has to relinquish the title for using dark magic and World War Hulk, the giant nerd stuff there. But Jericho Drum is like haunted by the ghost of his brother, but not like a haunting, like an evil haunting.
Where he's like alongside each other.
He's alongside him. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like the Wonder Twins with weirdness.
Yeah, like, yeah. But
a ghost of Wonder
Twins.
Here's
the thing that I like about Daniel Drum. He's kind of not a good guy. Like, yes, he haunts his brother, and yes, they're like in league with each other more or less, but he's kind of not a good guy. And at a certain point, like in the New Avengers run, I want to say volume 3, the one that Bendis was writing, maybe volume 4, I think it was volume 3, New Avengers, Daniel Drum discovers that he can possess everybody.
He starts doing it.
And use them for their power. So he's like, I can jump into Thing and make Ben Grimm the Thing do whatever I want. I can jump into Captain America. I can jump into Iron Man and take over his entire suit. Now I'm Iron Man. And basically, it's Doctor Strange versus the entire Avengers by the end of that book. Because he's jumping
Fantastic.
In. As soon as he jumps into one guy, Doctor Strange will take him out. And he's already jumped onto another guy. Or another girl. So he's like, now he's a Black Widow kicking Doctor Strange in the face. There goes Black Widow. But Daniel Drum's already flown into Iron Man. And like, it's epic. So like, I wonder if they're going to do something like that in the sequel.
It sounds like that Denzel Washington movie.
Oh, what was that movie called?
Taken? No, not Taken. But it was...
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a evil spirit was following him around. And
it was like a mass murder or something like that,
mass murder,
right?
Yeah. That he put into jail and he was executed. And then he...
His spirit breaks free, yeah.
Yeah, and he would transfer through touch to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was still a serial killer, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what that reminds me of.
What's that?
John Q.
No.
Training Day.
No.
That's it. I'm King Kong.
No, it was Glory. Okay. It was Glory. Moving definitely on.
No, it was the one where we have to remember those Titans. I think we have to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Coach. Titan remembering.
He was a coach slash cop.
Serial killer.
Very big part.
Oh, no.
It was a very strange movie.
No,
strange
it wasn't
movie.
Virtuosity. Fallen, yes.
Fallen.
Spider. Yeah. Spider Geronimo.
The Spiderwick Chronicles, yeah. Spiderwick Chronicles, yeah. That's what it was.
Yep. It was Fallen.
But Daniel Drum, I thought, was a really exciting one. And the fact that he died, I think. And Scott Derrickson has said that he loves Brother Voodoo and is hoping to find a way to incorporate him into the sequel. So
great.
Daniel Drum is dead. He died in the Sanctum. Jericho Drum is like, oh my God, I've got to go avenge my brother, figure out what happened to him. He comes into the sequel. I don't know. I would love to see that team up, to be honest.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Cloak of Levitation.
I think we should.
By the way, my fiance, soon to be wife, I call her the almost wife. I'm like, you are Brittany, the almost wife. She liked to call it Capy, and she now wants to cosplay as Capy,
dude,
and just like run
that's
around.
A great couple's costume. Like run as the doctor,
her as Capy, and she just like latches onto me and like webs people away.
Yeah. You should carry a bottle of Visine, and then every now and then do that just so she can be like.
Apparently, that was Cumberbatch's idea.
Oh, I thought that
like
was
in
so
an
cute.
Interview, like he was like, I want to pop the collar and then wipe away the tear, and Derrickson was like, yes, you should do that. Yeah.
Spider Dramino called it the Cloak of Levity. That's
good. It was good. And it was like, and a lot of people are comparing it to Aladdin's carpet, which magic carpet, which, you know, is apt, I think. Mm-hmm. But it does, to be fair, it also does do that stuff in the comics. Not to the degree that they had it, and certainly not to the comical degree that they had it in the film, mm-hmm. but it does have a bit of a mind of its own, and it does help protect Doctor Strange and stuff like that, though it is typically mm-hmm. like Doctor Strange is like, Cloak of Levitation! He kind of commands it a little bit more, but it's prehensile in the comics. It just had a bit more of a mind of its own in the movie, which I thought was great.
I thought it worked.
Yeah, I like how they did it in the movie, because I would not have believed that he would have defeated Caecilius.
No, there's no way.
Not
there's
in hand-to-hand no combat.
Way. There's no way. He
no.
would have been, he
so it's like, this cape, the cloak, makes sense.
I really like that they didn't make him all-powerful. That's one of my favorite parts of the film, is that even at the end of the film, he's not the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah.
I liked how like he didn't instantly know everything. He was smart, and they showed him evolve. Like, apparently it took place over the course of a year, and he got better.
Yeah.
But at no point did I feel like he had learned too much in a short amount of time. Like, it felt like a progression.
Yeah.
He didn't have the Mary Sue problem, where it was just like, he's good at everything! Or Gary Sue, I guess.
Gary Sue.
To piggyback off that, can I say that the little D&D person in my heart, like, loved this film because the mages were so fragile. Like, they were, like, real human fragile. Like, for instance, with the Ancient One, when she's fighting Caecilius and his zealots. And it's like, yes, when you're fighting, a rival mage, and you can't get through their magical defense, you have to trick them.
Yeah.
And if you're a bad guy, then, you stab through your own person to get to them.
Yeah, you don't care.
Yeah,
and screw that other guy.
Like, and I just love that. Like, yes, he's Doctor Strange, or he's becoming the Doctor Strange, but he still needed Christine to fix,
his heart and everything. Yeah, when he got stabbed.
I was like, I loved that so much.
I loved it. I will say that one of the things that disappointed me, was that there weren't like arcane bolts of magic. I really wanted to see bolts of bedevilment and like bolts of Balthak, which, by the way, the worst name, Balthak. Like, it sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds like
someone's got a really bad list.
That's Mike Tyson saying Balthak.
Yeah. So, by the bolt of Balthak. Like, that's probably why they didn't use it. But,
like,
I did want to see
arcane
bolts.
Nintendo toy.
Yeah, a bit.
Ball that. Hold this.
But,
ball
like,
that.
The otherwise, like, the magic, I thought, looked incredible. Like, I was all on board for it. Let's talk. And by the way, I want to say, I was asked what moment I loved the most in the film, like, after I initially saw it.
Mm-hmm.
the moment that made me lose my mind the most, and I'd seen it in trailers, I already knew it was coming, but seeing it on big screen and 3D and everything else, was he gets knocked down in the sanctum, the cloak levitation flies down and gets him, and then he floats up and he's got his, he's like,
yeah.
Like, that moment, like, I was like, that's Doctor Strange. Like, I just, like, I was like, there he is, that's him. Like, because that's how I always see him. Like, he's like, just kind of hovering ever so slightly above the ground with a spell, like, sort of, like, already
ready.
Mm-hmm. Ready.
Yeah.
You know, nice. Like, I was just saying, he was just, like, had that focus on his face, like, all right, brother, come on, like, you, now we're doing it, you know? And I was like, oh, that's the best. All right, so Ai Vagamoto's the Time Stone. What'd you guys think?
Did not like.
Really?
Didn't like it as the Time Stone.
Did not like it as the Time Stone. Okay. I felt like it took away from Doctor Strange. I felt like it made it. Okay, so there's stones all over the universe.
Yeah.
There's so
Why
many
are they
now.
All on Earth?
I agree. I agree with that. Okay. Why, how do they all ended up
Why
on Earth?
Are they all in New York? Like, I mean, maybe I know that wasn't in the Sanctum, but it was based near New York by way of Doctor Strange. So I was like, okay, so they don't have to go very far for all these. It just felt too convenient for how big the universe could be, and I also felt like it took away from Doctor Strange as a character, because it's like the Vision thing, where like it's a part of the core of the character, and now it's part of this Infinity thing.
Yeah.
So like it felt. Not disrespectful, that's too strong of a word, but I wanted Doctor Strange to be more independent of tying it to this universe.
I agree.
I enjoyed it, just for the simple fact that there is no way that Doctor Strange could have ever defeated Dormammu.
Yeah.
He just could not without artifact help.
Yeah.
And I would think it's Dormammu, so he would need an Infinity Stone artifact type of help. So I thought that it fit in. And I totally understand what you're saying with it. The very fact that at the end he put it back because he is not ready for it. He needs to train more. I liked how they handled
that. But I thought it could have been that without being the stone. It could have just been a relic that was too powerful for him that he happened to know how to open, and then the relic took over. Like in the comics when he's like, let me see, eye. Like the eye is aware enough to do some of its own stuff.
Sure.
So I thought it could have been a relic that was more powerful than him, and then he could have still put it back. Like if you just take away the fact that it's a stone, it could still do the same things, but making it a stone takes away from Doctor Strange.
Well, Mr. Doctor.
Yes, Mr. Doctor.
That was fantastic. Yeah, I love that joke. Who's on first? But I also liked it because it very much ties Doctor Strange into the whole Infinity War Thanos thing, where it's like, and then, you know, how, whatchamacallit, I can't talk today, how Hydra, I have to look at my necklace, how Hydra had Doctor Strange on their watch list. I mean, he'd be on the watch list anyway, but it's like, it just escalates everything if he had an Infinity Stone nearby in possession, even if he's not using it right then. So I enjoyed it.
It just felt like the stone of convenience. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, look at here.
I think that's the indigo stone. The stone of convenience.
I agree with both of your points. I did not like the fact that the stone, like, I feel like the Ai Vagamoto is supposed to be a magical item, and I do not equate the Infinity Stones with magic or sorcery. Like, those are like cosmic, like, points of, like,
fixed power. Point in time.
Like, fixed points in time. Yeah, like, it, like, they're collapsed singularities. Like, that's not, that does not equate to magic to me. However, I do agree, like, he needs the power of something like an Infinity Stone to defeat a character like Dormammu. Like, or like, he needs power equivalent to, maybe not necessarily a Time Stone or Infinity Stone, but something equivalent to. So I do think it was smart to use the Infinity Stone to tie that into the cinematic universe. What I'm hoping that they do is eventually reveal that, yes, the Ai Vagamoto houses the Time Stone, but it also is a magical artifact in and of itself. It just so happens that the Time Stone is so powerful.
I think that's necessary.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah,
because
you can't lose the eye.
No. But obviously, well, not obviously, but in my movie head, you know, Thanos is going to be able to get the gauntlet, so you know that Time Stone's going to be part of it. But yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, like it makes sense that Thanos is going to get the gauntlet at some point, and do some resetting or something. I don't know, but then it's like, so wait, Doctor Strange doesn't have the Ai Vagamoto? Like, that's the main thing. Like, that and the Cloak of Levitation, those define, in part, like, very greatly, who Doctor Strange is and what he can do and how he does it. So, and like, Agamotto is the first Sorcerer Supreme. He was a very powerful sorcerer on his own right. Mm-hmm. So for him to be like, I am all powerful, here is this stone that is kind of magical, like...
Well, just think, I mean, I don't want to call it the housing.
But I know what you mean.
Yeah, but that has to be of amazing power just to, like, And let's say it's not capturing. It's, yeah. It probably beckoned and then was able to be set inside yeah. of the Eye of Agamotto.
So. Yeah. Yeah. My hope is that they can divorce the time stone from the Eye of Agamotto. And the Eye of Agamotto is still very powerful. You know, like the Eye of Agamotto is like the ultimate relic for white magic. It's like it can shield, it can mm-hmm. see through illusions, mm-hmm. it can read people's minds and like reveal those truths to Doctor Strange. Like, it's ultimate white magic. Like, it can inspire the people around him, right. like give them ultimate hit points.
And we can't lose that.
You yeah. know, and they didn't do anything with that in the movie, which is fine.
Right.
But I really don't want to give up the Eye of Agamotto for the Time Stone and that's never have
no,
that.
No, no, I don't think they're going to do that. Just think of it like really sweet condo.
Time Stone's just taking up residence. Yeah, it's just rooming. That's all it is. It's rooming with the other magic, sure.
That's it.
But while we're on the subject of Time Stones, my friend Kyle Garibaldi found this piece on Reddit that I think we may know where the Soul Stone is.
Oh?
Oh, doesn't Heimdall? Oh, sorry.
That's, yeah. I think it might be Heimdall.
Heimdall? Yeah. Heimdall.
That's how he sees every single soul in the universe and knows where everyone is because he's got the Soul Stone. So there's a picture of Heimdall that you can look up where he's got like the chest plate and Yggdrasil is growing on it. And right above that is a little bitty stone that has never glowed. It's never done anything. It just looks like it's part of the armor, but it's like, but it is apart from...
If that gets more Idris Elba, I'm about it.
Well, and here's the other thing. We know Idris Elba is supposed to die by way of like Thor's vision in Age of Ultron. We also know that when we see him, he is blind.
Right.
And he's like, you've brought this pain upon us, brother, or whatever it is that he says. Yeah, you can kind of see it there. Mm. And it's always been like just right in front of us and we've never noticed it just because it's part of his chest piece.
I love
piece
things like that because that's like Harry Potter.
Yeah, but exactly. But here's the other thing. I really do not know if Marvel's doing this on purpose, but it seems at this point that they are.
Mm-hmm.
Tesseract, Heimdall, Aether, Necklace, Eye of Agamotto, Orb, and Scepter. Thanos. It's that name... That name, like acronym, that Thanos is spelling out the location of all of the gems.
That's cool.
And the Soul Stone is the last one to be revealed. Heimdall.
Then Thanos is going to...
And Thanos has to kill Heimdall to get the Soul Stone. And that would explain why he's dead in Age of Ultron vision.
And if he loses the stone, why he's blind to seeing it. Oh, that's interesting.
Yep. Yeah, like my friend Kyle was like, he texted that to me. He's like, oh my God, it all makes sense. I've just seen the future.
The acronym is crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Like I've known about the acronym for a while, but I was like, there's no way that's going to be a case. Then I was like, wait, Necklace. Oh my God. And then a day later, I was like, Heimdall. Oh, criminy.
Yeah, it's like the entire MCU is an escape room, and we just had to put the clues
the MCU
together.
Escape room. I love it. So yeah, anyway, I thought that was... worth mentioning.
That's fantastic.
Or H stands for Happy Hogan.
Oh my God.
And that's
just
the secret.
Stop.
John Favreau is like, you guys are looking at this?
Oh, you guys are looking for the Soul Stone?
I mean, John Favreau started the Marvel Universe. He should finish it.
Yep, exactly.
You know, I picked up this thing.
This helps me see everybody's soul. It's real weird.
When I was in the
you
hospital,
want to do something with this, Iron Man?
Yeah. Iron Man 3, so here you go.
Tony Stark, you want to do something with this? All right, so... the whole film takes place over about a course of a year, which I thought was cool. I would have preferred like 2 years, maybe. Like I think I here's what this is just me. I thought it would have been cool if we could have had a bit of a more time skipping narrative because we were dealing with time. So screw it, let's not do like a straightforward, you know, A to B
like the cinematic masterpiece narrative. Deadpool.
Have a little bit more,
or like
cinematic,
not quite as like segmented like as like Pulp Fiction, but like involving flashbacks here and there.
Yeah, maybe I think a little bit Jackie Brownish.
Yeah. So I thought it would have been cool if, you know, we meet Tony Stark, Stephen Strange, and he's already in, like, Kamar-Taj. He's already learning. Mm-hmm. Then we flash back to maybe 2012 or something like that, and that's when he loses his... Yeah, like, that's when he's in the accident or something like that, you know?
Recoup
like,
times and times between surgeries.
Because I thought it would have been cool to be like, oh, he's been studying for 6 years instead of just one. But that's just me. That's just my preference. Because, like, 1 year seems a little fast. Mm-hmm. You know, like, by the end of my freshman year, I really didn't know a whole lot.
But
you know,
he is very smart.
But he's incredibly smart. He got a PhD. I understand all those character points.
That's true. And he's... I didn't like him.
You what?
I didn't like him.
You didn't like Doctor Strange?
No.
Oh, you at the beginning?
At the beginning.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
No.
I was like, wait, you didn't like him at all ever?
No. That's awful. At the beginning. I thought he was the D-bagness of Tony Stark without the charm.
Yeah. No, I see that. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
I mean, he got better.
Yeah, he got way better. And like by the end of it, I loved that he was apologizing to Dr. Palmer. Like, hey, I was. Yeah.
I loved their fight. I loved Rachel McAdams was so good in that.
Oh, she was so really good.
That fight was incredible.
I love the agency that they gave her. Yeah. It's like that was really
the
cool.
The scene with Straight Out of the Oath with them in the operating table with the astral plane.
Yeah, that's like... actually the very next thing I wanted to talk about was like the astral plane fight in the hospital where it was like, that was straight out of the Oath. Again, read the Oath if you haven't. But like that's the second page of the Oath is him like, popping out of the astral plane to tell, I think it's actually Dr. Linda Evans, I want to say, is the other. There's the actual nurse in Night and the Oath. Or Linda Carter, I can never remember.
I think it's Linda Carter. It might be Linda Carter. They couldn't use that because Linda Carter.
Yeah. So they made, there are three night nurses, in case you were wondering. So they used Dr. Christine Palmer, the third one. But yeah, that's straight out of the comic book. The actual fight. It's not out of the comic book. That's a whole. That was Scott Derrickson. Like that's one of the things he pitched to Marvel.
Yeah.
In his pitch, he's like, by the way, I want to have an astral plane fight that ends up having kind of like poltergeist ramifications in the real world. And Feige was like, well, yeah, we got to do that. Mm-hmm. That's like the scene where
like,
he was
who
like,
doesn't like the
they
frighteners.
Were fighting over Doctor Strange's unconscious body. I was like, that is the best. Yes, thank you.
That was rad.
By the way, the other scene that I really loved was Doctor Strange studying in the astral plane. Like he was asleep, and his astral form was studying. I was like, that is the most Doctor Strange thing you've done in this movie up to now. Like that is so perfect.
Yeah, one of the friends that I went with, she had no idea about Doctor Strange at all. She cheered during that part. She's like, yes!
That's so awesome. I love hearing that.
Okay.
The third act reveal of the zone that Dormammu infested that felt like a blacklight poster was the
dark dimension. Yeah.
Visual. Man. I never thought I'd seen anything that looked like a blacklight poster come to life, and it looked exactly like Ditko. That whole third act, like chase, the first act chase. And the third act of the different dimensions were the most mind-blowing visuals. Like, I saw it on Friday and then had a fun weekend and then saw it again on Sunday. And it was the most I didn't think they could capture drug visuals in video, like on a screen, and they did. Like,
yeah, I didn't know it was possible to watch a movie and be like, am I tripping right now or is this just the visuals?
Like, it felt like things... It was real good.
I love like the story that it told too while everything was going in reverse order and then like all of a sudden you know you see Wong and he's like
that was such a great reveal.
I was like Wong
was dead and now he's not.
It's like that was one of my favorite jokes and moments in the whole thing because now I feel like they're gonna be bros.
Yeah, he should have read the whole book because the warning comes after.
Yeah. That was such a magic moment.
Can I
say real quick how much I love Mordo and the way that he was portrayed in here by, let me say this right, Chiwetel Ejiofor. It was because you totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand why he becomes a bad guy.
Yeah.
And then you also understand things like how with this, the Ancient One, how she believes in flexibility, flexibility and power. Then you could see like, Caecilius. Oh, because with the New York Sanctum Sanctorum, who was it before, what's his name, Daniel Drum? Because it felt like to me that Caecilius might have been the master of New York because when he showed up, he's like, oh, you're here.
Yeah. Oh, so they made you the master. Yeah. That's actually, I didn't even pick that up. Yeah, that's maybe.
Four times.
I had this great moment. I saw it with my dad, and Benjamin Bratt said, Benjamin Bratt talking about, like, magic. I was like, Dad, there's a movie on right now that has Benjamin Bratt talking about Kamar Taj. Do you realize that?
Do you realize that? No.
So it was, like, the craziest thing to see Benjamin Bratt, like, Kamar Taj. I was like, what did he just say?
We're
there? Like, it was so mind-blowing. Yeah,
you're looking for Kamar Taj. Yeah, you are. Yeah, so nerdy. I loved it.
Yeah, but you totally get Mordo with like his inflexibility, but his strength, and it's like his upholding of natural law. It's like, no, I totally get it, dude.
Yeah,
it kind of sucks, and now you're going to do this. And yeah.
He's going to be a great villain. Like,
he's going to be such a good villain.
Derrickson referred to him as a non-fundamentalist fundamentalist.
That's great.
He's like you know, when paladins go bad, they mm-hmm. go very, very bad. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. that kind of thing. He's a paladin.
Yeah. It's a good... I love everything you guys are saying. Real quick, did Caecilius and the Zealots turn into mindless ones?
I think so.
I didn't think of that the first time I watched it. So mm-hmm. the second time I went to see it, I had heard the theory like, oh my God, did they turn into mindless ones? So I was watching specifically for that. When they get pulled away, they're gray and not quite bulky. They're a little more zombie-like, but they do have giant red eye, it looks like. And it's like, oh my God, do all the denizens, like, so the Dark Dimension just absorbs world after world and dimension after dimension.
Do they all become
mindless ones of Dormammu? Is that what happens to the denizens of the dark dimension? Like,
it's like you live forever, but you're a mindless one.
Yeah, but you're mindless in your mind.
That's why you don't get wishes from a genie.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about the time fight at the very end. How awesome was that? So Scott Derrickson went on record saying he had heard the criticisms of Marvel films and how they always end with the city exploding and everyone's dead and there's a portal that had to be closed or something like that. So Derrickson was like, well, you know what? I'm going to do it completely the opposite, where the city's been destroyed, but we put it back together, and then we fly through the portal instead of closing it.
That's really funny. Like the inverse. Yeah,
It was like the exact same thing what they did in Iron Man, where it was like, Ant-Man, where it was like, instead of having, like, they had large-scale, gigantic destruction, but on a little tiny model. Like, it was like they're playing with these conventions now, which I love to see.
That's great.
But I thought that was some of the most brilliant fight scene, like I've never seen a fight take place forward in a world around them going in reverse. And then Baron Mordo figures out, like, oh my God, I can push them into things as they're reconstituting themselves. So he, like, pushes...
And the visuals of
Caecilius,
that...
Caecilius, like... Yeah.
I love that it was space in the first act and time in the third. Like, I love the space-time, like, flavor of the fights.
It was so, so freaking cool.
And
like,
I have to mention how great Tilda Swinton was.
Oh, my God!
The scene, I was loving...
So good!
The chase scene was already great in the beginning. Yeah. But as soon as they were all fighting, and then Tilda Swinton lands to fight Caecilius... Like, her, like, standing with her arm behind her back, and then, like, he goes to attack her, and she just throws his attack back at him.
Yeah.
Like, or the moment where they, like, lasso her feet, and she just, like, steps back. Like,
pulls him back with her feet.
Tilda Swinton was, for me, the MVP. Like, I loved...
She really was.
Every scene she was in, I was like, oh. Like, she was incredible.
She just had such a powerful presence about her. Like, and just her being there was like, oh, yeah.
The subtlety of her acting. I mean, two instances. One, obviously, the balcony scene.
Sure.
Where she's like, oh, do you want...
astral plane.
Yeah,
oh.
It's like, oh, do you want me to tell your future? He's like, no. And then she just kind of glances at him. I'm like, oh. He's like, yes.
And he's like, you're right. Yeah, you can still see through me.
I do. Yeah, but it's like, little things like that are... And also, the scene when they're in the New York Sanctum Sanctorum, and Dr. Strange is coming at her with like, you draw power from the dark dimension, I know Dormammu, and then she goes, be very careful about the next thing that you say. And just that, those words, it's like, oh, is she threatening him? And then it's like, no, she's advising. It's like, and to be able to say words like that are so threatening, but it turns out to be advice. It's like, oh my, Tilda!
Every scene in the dojo, I was like, oh, I'd love to learn, like, anything that she has to teach. Like, every, because she was charming, she was funny, she was authoritative. Like, it was incredible.
Yeah. MVP was a good way to put it. She absolutely was. Yeah, Doom?
I was really impressed by how she managed to feel small and powerful
at
the same time. Because, like, she has a very small frame, but she, and the calmness was that of a Buddhist monk.
Yeah,
She never drops that feeling until the end when she has to let it all, because she's dropping life.
Yeah.
So she lets that one wall down as she falls away.
And I love that you don't see her disappear. You see her grab his hand, and then she's just not there. And then you hear the flatlining, and you're just like,
yeah,
it's so, like, sad and, like, wonderful and marvelous. And, like, here's the great thing with the Ancient One. She's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Her ghost is still 100%. There. She becomes, like, one with the universe, and she's still there to, help out and confer with Doctor Strange. So
I got
to
give Marvel credit. This felt like their most independent, like, not independent film, but like independent of universe film in a long time.
Yeah.
I really liked that it was its own thing. I didn't feel like it had to be connected. I wasn't, mm-hmm. I didn't sit there looking for Easter eggs. I didn't sit there looking for connectivity. I was just enjoying a really good movie. Mm-hmm. And this movie had probably the most exposition of any of them.
Oh, it has so much.
It had to explain, and it was just brilliant actors giving dialogue to let you know what universe you were
yeah.
in. And I don't think any lesser actors could have made this movie work, because there were so many times I was like, oh, we've been listening for 20 minutes about something, and I'm like so invested. Like, yeah. the second time I watched it, I was like, I realized how much was just talking.
Yeah.
And that was brilliant. And yeah. I didn't notice the first time. It was just so, like, this is where you are. And it was great.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
There's only like two or maybe three like direct references to outside like MCU properties. And one of them got debunked.
Oh,
which
like,
is the what everybody thought, and I thought too, was Rhodes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Captain Marvel was in there.
Potentially, yeah.
Potentially, yeah. Mm-hmm. The Captain Marvel one is weird. Let's talk about that in a second. But first, mm-hmm. let's talk... Doctor Strange and Thor Ragnarok. What is that? Like, how does that... So...
Yeah.
Oh, oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, that is so... I'm not confused in a bad way. I'm just like, so wait,
well, remember
so...
remember the picture that we saw where you had where Thor got, outside got, of 177A yeah. Bleecker Street.
Yeah.
You know, so either...
How involved is he?
Yeah, either that happens... Okay, thinking about it, either that happens at the beginning of Thor Ragnarok,
yeah,
where they're then, you know, looking for Odin, or it happens near the end where all of the things that are, you know, going to be Ragnarok, because it yeah. looked like Odin was part of it, you know, already,
yeah.
but Doctor Strange isn't in there. So if it's at the end, then I guess that could make sense leading into Infinity War.
I feel like so. I feel like all of Ragnarok is the search for Odin. Right?
Yeah, that sounds like a totally different thing now, because like the cosmic journey, maybe he's looking for Odin, he's not in New
that's,
York.
That's kind of what yeah. I've always
but
thought,
then,
is it?
How do you explain that alleyway picture?
I don't know. I really don't know. And here's the other confusing thing. So he knows that Odin's no longer there. So
yeah.
does he know that Loki did it, or did he go back to Asgard and discover Loki still... Like, as far as I remember, at the end of Thor Dark World, Thor thought Loki was dead,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. and Odin was alive and sent him on his way to Earth with his blessing.
And between then, we learned that he knows the opposite.
And apparently, between that film, all the other films we've seen, mm-hmm. and Doctor Strange, Thor has somehow learned, oh, Odin's no longer there, and my brother's still alive.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, whether he knows Loki did that to Odin or not, don't know. He mm-hmm. seems to be teaming up with Loki, so that to me says either Loki is his prisoner...
Mm-hmm.
Or Loki has convinced him that they're on the same team trying to find Odin somewhere in New York.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just happy for more Loki.
Oh, yes, of course. Of course.
Well, yeah. Like, as soon as he said Loki, I just had like a full flashback of how much I love Tom Hiddleston's Loki.
Yeah.
Like, the mention of his name, I was like, yes.
And here's what I think is the good news. Benedict Cumberbatch and Tom Hiddleston on screen together.
Yes.
As Thor and Loki, or as Doctor Strange and Loki.
Because yeah. he's supposed to be in the next season of Sherlock, which is super exciting. Because
wait,
I love
is he
Sherlock.
Really? Oh my God.
Yeah, wow. Tom Hiddleston's supposed to be in Sherlock season, God. Whatever they're on.
Like,
there's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Like, yeah, thinking of the two of them together, somehow, like, with Martin Freeman.
Oh, dude.
Like,
man. So much.
Yeah.
I also want to thank Marvel for making Eminem canon.
Oh,
I know.
As and the way he said it, like, hard Eminem guy, I was like,
the way he said it was like Beyonce, Eminem.
Yeah, dude. I was
I'm not letting go of this.
The rap god is canon with the Norse god, and
so
I'm stoked
funny.
With it.
And then for Wong to be listening to Beyonce later,
was
and the best like single ladies of all the Beyonce songs. I'm
yeah,
like, yeah.
Well, and like that whole portal scene was so smart. Like him just like reaching through portals to grab books, and then when the Tilda Swinton is like. Well, you know, you're using a portal in the library. He was like, Wong told on me? Like, he's like, so taken aback, but like, playfully so. He's like, we're buds. Like,
he
told
to
on
me? That's
yeah.
the moment where you
yeah,
see turning
on me? Yeah.
Yeah, then it's like, oh, okay. I can get behind this.
So, when do we think that we will see Doctor Strange as the Sorcerer Supreme? So, we don't have a sequel announced yet. Let me give you the dates that we've got going. So, Guardians and Spider-Man come out next year. Along with Thor Ragnarok, which we'll see Doctor Strange. He's not going to be the Sorcerer Supreme in
no.
Thor Ragnarok, no. nor will he be by the end of Thor Ragnarok, because he'll be more of a cameo helping Thor out. He's probably not in the whole film.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we can expect to see him on, you know, Planet Hulk, wherever that ends up being. That's not going to happen. So Avengers Infinity War comes out May of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
We could possibly see it then. We've also got Ant-Man and the Wasp in 2018, and then we've got Captain Marvel in the sequel in 2019. So do we think that Doctor Strange sequel happens in 4 years.
I think he gets Sorcerer Supreme Infinity War, and then
you think so?
I think he's that the Sorcerer sense. Supreme in two. I think he's become yeah. Sorcerer Supreme for the sequel. That way you have escalation between the two films.
Yeah.
And I think he needs to be christened the Sorcerer Supreme to take on what he has to in Infinity War.
Ooh. See, I would see that him being the Sorcerer Supreme at the end of Infinity
that's
War,
what I'm saying.
But not at the beginning.
I'm saying that's the third act, like kind of like the Giant Man thing in Civil War. I think it's an inciting incident that allows a power-up, so to speak, that takes on...
I think it would actually come, like, right at the end of Infinity War, like, as a sort of, like, a morose, like, the devastation that has fallen upon Earth and everything else. Like, he's sort of last man standing, so he has to take the title. And it's like he takes it, but in a somber way.
Well, and but it's not the thing that he can't take the title. He has to be given the title. So what I think would be cool is if... somehow, like, the Living Tribunal, some of the, like, more celestial beings, mm-hmm. or the Ancient One appear to him, and they're like, you're the Sorcerer Supreme of this reality now. Like,
yeah.
You just are. Like, you have to be. And by the way, real quick, touching back on the Thor thing, that whole tea beer thing was...
amazing.
That was fun.
Not really my drink.
This that scene...
Oh, refilled. My God.
Of course so
it did.
Good. Of course it refilled.
That scene felt like Doctor Strange on screen.
It did.
All the magical elements, great, but like this, like just him counseling another member of the MCU.
It felt like the Illuminati. It felt like felt like the Doctor Strange when he's in a team up comic.
Yeah,
and that's the exposure I have with him is usually as a part of a plane. So I totally agree, Doom. When he was like with another person, I was like, this is Doctor Strange.
Yeah. I loved it. I loved it,
and it fit with the tone of Thor Ragnarok.
Perfect. And what's good is it not only did it fit with the tone, but it kind of gave us the tone because we haven't seen anything from it
except for that little 3 minute 30 second that
Taika Waititi like directed that one little scene. So let's move on real quick because we've only got a couple minutes left. What storyline do we think we're going to see in the sequel? Hoping to see Eternity Saga played out in some way, though Derrickson has said that like Nightmare is more than likely going to be the bad, like super duper big bad. And the other thing that I need to say to that is that the sorcerers always draw their power from other dimensions. Even the comics, that's pretty much true. You know, like Winds of Watoom, you know, Flames of the Faultine, all that stuff. Those are all powers pulled extra dimensionally or interdimensionally, rather, maybe. Mm-hmm. So Baron Mordo is going to have sort of like a deity or of some sort behind him in the same way that Dormammu was behind Caecilius.
Mm-hmm.
So Nightmare could be behind Baron Mordo in some way.
I like that.
Or like the Lords of Shambhala or something like that. But I really still want to see like Doctor Strange Eternity Saga. Like that's kind of what I'm excited about.
I want more Dormammu and I want Baron Mordo. I think there's plenty just with the cast we have. And I love that Dormammu is played by Benedict Cumberbatch. I don't know if like, that's common.
Oh my God, it's so cool. I love that.
I love that the mocap of him was, because it adds so many layers to like the mythos. And I thought, a lot of people didn't like how he looked. I loved how he looked, personally.
And he did half Dormammu's voice.
Right. Yeah. I loved that.
Yeah.
I had problems with the eye, and I had problems with some of the comedy, but overall, I thought this was one of the stronger Marvel films.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I enjoyed the look of Dormammu, but just because it seemed so video game to me.
Yeah.
I was just like, yes, this is, like, for instance, with, like, Zelda.
Yeah.
There's, I forget the name of him right now, but it's part of when you go to the Shadow Temple. Yeah. And then you just play this big guy that's banging on the drums, and he's just hands. And you have to use the lens of truth to be able to actually see him. So I like this look of Dormammu.
I like the look a lot.
I mean, not everything's flaming skulls.
What I do wish that we had seen, though, was just... because, like, they got the lines of Dormammu's face. Because the character classically has those lines on his face. But he's also got a flaming head. What I had hoped for and what I didn't get... and it's okay. Like, it's just such a nitpick. What I had hoped for was when he gets super enraged, he's like, you must release me! I would hope that he was going to stand up and be this... just bigger than the screen could allow. Like, see Doctor Strange as a tiny speck and see his head just enraged.
That's
just
true, man. I want it later.
And then calm back down. Like, oh, release me. You know, that's what I was hoping for. Didn't get it. That's okay.
Time.
I know, we're time. The Carol Danvers Easter egg.
Thank you. Bongo Bongo. Champion Bongo. Ashley. It was Bongo Bongo.
The Carol Danvers Easter egg. I really wish that we had time to talk about that, because that it actually kind of bothers me. I don't want that to be Carol Danvers' origin story, as she was struck by lightning.
Right. Oh. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah. The box office.
Because the Green Lantern thing versus the Flash thing? What?
Doom has
bought you 3 minutes.
Yay! Thank you, Doom. Let's talk about the Carol Danvers Easter egg.
Very, very quickly. Worldwide domestic. The worldwide box office for Doctor Strange is $325 million.
Dude.
That is pretty much a 100% recoup of all costs for the film in two weeks.
Wow. Two weeks
internationally.
Yeah.
So,
because the domestic is only 25% of their gross.
Huge,
right now,
dude.
Yeah. So very, very quickly, the Carol Danvers Easter egg thing. So that was apparently like he's the accident. Like his car accident was caused by this him looking at the X-ray. Like she has an implant to help her with her schizophrenia. She's hit by lightning and short circuits. Now she's brain dead. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's hit by lightning. I think that she's hit by whatever Kree device there is or whatever.
Right.
I don't understand the schizophrenia. Like, maybe they're setting her up as a bit of a sentry.
Also, 23 seems young.
22.
22 seems young.
Seems very young. Mm. And that also means that she's not in the military, which also frustrates me.
I want
like,
her to be...
She's got
to
be in the military.
As in a true captain, as opposed to, like, I don't think she was ever... Captain America was honorary.
Yeah.
As an honorary. Well, he was part of the military.
I think she was a major. I think she, like, outranks... She actually outranks Captain America. I think she's a major.
And we want that.
That makes sense.
But, like, that means that she's in her, like, at youngest, like... late 20s, like
at youngest,
like, you know, 30s, like she's in her 30s, like, so I was hoping we'd have a Captain Marvel in her 30s and she's in the military and something happens. Like, I wanted that whole background, and like, I really completely disagree with
maybe it's
Carol Danvers has like a similar backstory to Green Lantern. No, she doesn't at all.
Right.
No, so far from that, the truth.
We don't know yet if that's definitely her. I don't think he's confirmed it.
No one's confirmed it, though. Scott Derrickson's quote on it was, I actually can't comment on that. Maybe you'll just have to wait and see.
Okay.
So
I can live with that.
That could easily just mean it's a different character that we're not thinking of.
Very true. Very true. But like, that is not her backstory in the comics, and I really hope that they're not doing that for the film. That's just my personal opinion. But what do I know?
We should sign off with our last 55 seconds.
Yeah. and not talk about the Galactus.
I'm getting married on Saturday, and then I'm going to Japan. So this is my last show until I think probably December. And so thank you, everybody, and wish me luck on my impending nuptials. You can catch a podcast that I did with Joseph Scrimshaw, Obsessed. Go watch that. You can also see me on Screen Junkies News. I just did that yesterday. And go!
You can check me out on Friend of the Show, Tybee Diskin's podcast, and Terabang, my first non-pulp culture podcast. It was a lot of fun to do. That is live now. It's on my Twitter. And I also won another Movie Fights. I'm now 6-1 over at Screen Junkies.
Nice!
A lot of fun.
And today I did Screen Junkies News, so I'm all over the internet right now and everything. I love you guys tweeting and watch stuff.
Skip it up.
Cool. You can see me on Screen Junkie News. Last week, Friday, we talked about Tarantino, how he's retiring or not retiring.
Not
two
whatever.
More films ago.
Sure.
Da, da, da. And I'll be on Screen Junkie News again on the 18th. But if you like live comedy, this week I have two shows, Cut That Promo and Del Closed Fist. Both of them are wrestling inspired. Both will be on my Twitter for you to buy tickets.
Nice. All right, that's our show. Thank you for joining us, and Dr. Strange is awesome, and goodbye.
Bye, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
All right, hey. All right, good job, guys. Let's just not come in tomorrow. Let's just take a day.